stand by for netbooks. The Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Your net control and light is KJ4WZM. My name is Daniel, and my location is Traveler's Rest. In the interest and promotion of amateur radio, this net is called nightly at 9 p.m. In the event of emergency, this net will be activated. Top Cedars Head Mountain, about 2 miles south of the North Carolina-South Carolina border near Highway 276. The repeater is at an elevation of 3,500 feet and has an effective radiating power of 25 watts. This repeater is owned and operated by the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society, and all amateurs licensed to operate on their frequency are invited to check in. Bulletins or announcements for the net, please call KJ4WZM or net control. I don't hear any, so this time I'm going to go ahead and recognize the pre-net check-ins. K4FCM, that's Fred, N4IEI, Isla, they're in Traveler's Rest tonight. W2AMD, Andrew in Simpsonville. K4OSH, Pat at Malden. KF4LZI, Andy near Table Rock. KF4RVH, JD, he's in Greenville. K4XMR, Mail and Prosperity. KT4PFI, that's Don. And KT4QLQ, that's Linda, they're in Piedmont tonight. KJ4UHF, Jack in Greenville. W4IOE, Sid and Fletcher. KA5WLL, Leroy and Taylors. KO4QLG, Chris and Liberty. K1CJW, Roland and Pickens. KN4RJN, John on Brown Summit. N4WRO, Bill and Easley. KB2BYQ, Dave and Easley. And KC4W, Bill and Anderson. Oh, I might have a miscount on that. I'm trying to recount this real quick. Hang on with me 1 second. Pre-net check-ins tonight. At this time, I'm going to go ahead and call for any Echolink stations. Echolink stations only. If you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, please call KJ4WZM or net control. Time check into the for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. If you've never checked in before, or if you just upgraded your ham license or just became a ham, or if you haven't checked in to the net before, if this is you, please call KJ4WZM or net control. I don't hear any. So, I'll go ahead and begin a regular roll call. This is the directed net. All stations with or without traffic are invited to check in. As you check in, your call, name, location, and signaling your intent to remain on the net for the right to portion. Tonight being Friday, we'll begin with stations Uniform through Zulu, U through Z. If you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, please call KJ4WZM or net control.
Control. Control for Zulu Hotel Foxtrot, Eaton Club. Just check me in and out tonight.
WZM. Whiskey Victor 6 Zulu, WV6Z, Tom and Marietta, negative and negative 73.
Nice. KE4ZHF, that's Keith in Columbus, and WV6Z, that is Tom and Marietta. Tom, I was just in Marietta a few minutes ago. Just made it home a few minutes ago. Alrighty, one more call, Uniform through Zulu, U through Z. If you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, please call KJ4WZM or net control. Next, A through D, if you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, please call KJ4WZM or net control.
KJ4WZM. Evening, Daniel. Please check in. Kilo, Kilo 4, Delta Mike Whiskey, Rick, and my wife, Kilo, Kilo 4, Oscar, November Oscar, Lorena, and my daughter, Kilo Mike 4, Mike Oscar, Quebec, Michelle. We're all in Piedmont, and we'll all be negative and negative. 73 CU and all on the net.
Control. Please check in Kilo November 4, Charlie Hotel Yankee.
KN4CHY, Keys and Seneca, negative and negative.
4WZM. Daniel, please check in. Kilo, Mike, 4, Bravo, Lima, Hotel, KM4BLH. The name here is Kurt, Charlie Uniform, Romeo Tango, QTH, Greenville. I'll be negative and negative.
Net control. Please check me in out of turn. Kilo 9, Oscar Hotel, that's K9OH. Name is Billy, located in Anderson. Also, please check my wife, Nancy. Her call is Kilo November 4, Delta Bravo, Quebec. We'll both be in and out this evening, 73 all.
KK4DMW, that is Rick. He brings along with him his wife, Lorena, KK4ONO, and his daughter, Michelle, KM4MOQ. They're at home in Piedmont tonight. Next up, we got W4DJW, that is Dave and Greer. And Dave, you're way down in the noise tonight. Could barely make you out. Next up, we got KN4CHY, that is Keith and Seneca, KM4BLH, Kurt in Greenville, and K9OH, Billy, he brings along with him his wife Nancy, KN4DBQ. They're at home in Anderson tonight. Any other stations, Alpha through Delta, A through D, if you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge Stream Internet, please call KJ4WZM or Net Control. To E3H now. Echo through hotel. If you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge Demeter Net, please call KJ4WZM or Net Control.
KJ4WZM. Again, Kilo Charlie 4, Echo Zulu November, KC4EZN, Harry in Candler, North Carolina, and we'll stick around with you a few minutes tonight, Daniel.
Control. Please check in Kilo Oscar 4, Hotel Kilo X-ray. That's Patrick in Penrose, North Carolina. And Daniel, I will be in and out tonight. Thank you.
W4 Foxtrot, Hotel, Juliet, Jean, and Taylor's negative and negative, over.
Chicken, AA4QS, Dawg, and N4DV, Paul. Wind's cold. I'm probably out of turn, but appreciate you calling me tonight. Thank you.
That's KC4EZN. That is Harry and Candler. Harry, I've got you marked down for comments tonight. Thank you for sticking around for comments. Next up, I got KO4HKX. That is Patrick. He's in Penrose tonight. And Patrick, I had a lot of fun on my radio today. Really enjoyed it. Made some nice contacts today. Next, we got W4FHJ. That's my buddy Gene. He's in Taylor's. And I got AA4QS, Donald, and N4DME, Paul. And they're home in Tocoa tonight. Any other stations, E through H, Echo through Hotel, if you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge Stream Internet, please call KJ4WZM or Net Control. Next. India through Lima, if you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge Demeter Net, please call KJ4WZM or Net Control.
KJ4WZM. Please check in and out. Kilo Golf 4, Juliet, India Alpha, that's KG4JIA, Dennis and Gaffney. Good evening to you all on the net. 73.
KWZM. Hello, Kilo 4, Juliet, Foxtrot, Oscar, and I'm James, and I'm up here on this mountain in Tuxedo, North Carolina. Be negative and negative, saying 73 for each one of you.
KJ4WZM. Please check in. Kilo 4, Juliet, Bravo, Quebec. This is Larry. Also, my wife Donna. Kilo Charlie 4, Mike, Foxtrot, Kilo. We make our home in Greer. Mark us in and out, if you would, please. Everyone have a good night. 73.
And Whiskey 4, Juliet, Foxtrot, Kilo, W4, JFK, Chris, and Chester. And I'll be negative and negative. 73.
Hotel, India, W4, H-I, Bruce, C-R-E-C, Seneca. portable.
No.
Recognize KG4JIA. That is Dennis and Gaffney. KK4JFO. James up on the mountain in Tuxedo. KK4JVQ. That is Larry, and he brings along with him his wife, Miss Donna, KC4MFK. Larry, tell Miss Donna we said hello. They're at home in Greer tonight. Next up, I have two stations that I don't believe either one's checked in with me before. I'd like to recognize W4JFK. That is Chris in Chester. And W4HI. That is Bruce in Seneca. Any other stations, I through L, if you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge Meter Net, please call KJ4WZM or Net Control. And try Mike through Papa M through P if you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2 meter net. Please call KJ4WZM or Net Control.
ZM. Daniel, please check in Kilo Oscar 4, November, November Hotel, KO4NNH. My name is Fred, I'm home with MP Mock tonight. 7-3 to you, Daniel, and all in the net. I'll be negative and negative tonight.
WZM. Daniel, please check in Kilo 4, Oscar, India, Mike. Negative and negative, Daniel. The doctors have talked me out today. But I'll hear from you tomorrow, Daniel.
Net Control, please check in Kilo, Oscar 4, Papa, X-ray, Bravo, Lowington, Centerville, KO4PXV.
KO4NNH, that is Fred, mobile in Piedmont tonight. Have a good night at work tonight, Fred. Don't work too hard. Next up, I'd like to recognize K4OIM. That's my buddy Walt in Inman. And that's okay, Walt. Hope you get some good rest tonight, and hope you feel better tomorrow. Maybe we'll talk to you tomorrow. Hope you get better soon. Next up, we have KO4PXB. That is Lloyd in Simpsonville. Any other stations? Mike through Papa M through P. If you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge Meter Net, please call KJ4WZM or Net Control.
KJ4WZM. This is KO4NUE. Chad in Campobello. Please also check in my wife, Kilo Oscar 4, Romeo Yankee Papa. We'll be in and out tonight, Daniel. Thank you for calling the net.
KO4NUE, that is Chad up in Campobello. Also, he brings along with him his wife, Miss Anna, KO4RYP. Chad, tell Miss Anna we said hello. She's also at home in Campobello tonight. And y'all can secure at your leisure. You have a great night. We'll talk to you later on down the line. I'll go ahead and move up to Quebec through Tango now. Q3T, if you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge Meter Net, please call KJ4WZM or Net Control. KFOROW, that is Richard in Greenville. I'll go ahead and open it all the way up through the alphabet now. A through Z, Z through A, Alpha through Zulu, Zulu through Alpha. If you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2 meter net, please call KJ4WZM or Net Control.
Before going to RAG 2, Alpha through Zulu, A through Z, if you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2 meter net, please call KJ4WZM or Net Control.
Oscar 4, Juliet Kilo Victor, Duncan in Asheville, just got in on the radio, a little late, but no traffic, no comment.
Whiskey 4, Whiskey, Oscar Zulu, that's W4WOZ, my name's Rod, we're in Land Was, and we're negative and negative, good evening.
I'd like to recognize KO4JKV, that is Duncan in Asheville.
check-in to W4WOZ, ride for the land of wives. Alrighty, that sounds like that does it for check-ins for the formal portion of the net. So this is KJ4WZM now securing the formal portion of the net. With our thanks for checking in. All stations wishing to secure may do so. We'll now begin the RAGCHU portion of the net with some periodic stops for check-ins between RAGCHUs. KC4EZN, looks like you're first up tonight. How are you doing, Harry?
K4WZM, KC4EZN, give me a signal report, Daniel.
Good. That, there is the ever so slightest hint of barely detectable white noise at all, but you're one of the stronger stations that's been in here tonight. Better than most stations, so pretty good.
That's good. I'm doing a retro night. I decided I like working the South Carolina, North Carolina CUSO parties, and I decided to use the 10-tech Corsair 2 to do that because most of that will be single sideband, and that radio is much, much easier to listen to than my other radios. It's easy on the ears. And then this particular radio that I'm talking on now is a Kenwood TH215A, and I'm running it into an Alenco 2-meter amplifier, which most of you folks don't even know they made them because that amplifier is about 30 years old, but... And I don't know exactly what its multiplier is. I'm putting 5 watts out of the handheld, and I have the switch in there, which has got a, basically it cuts the power down. If you're putting over 3 watts into it, you flip the switch over and it knocks it down. So I'm putting out probably somewhere between 20 and 30 watts. Not real sure, but... Anyway, I'm just having some fun with some old stuff tonight, and wondering how it was getting out. This radio was purchased somewhere in the early 90s, and it was my wife's radio, and it still works. KJ4WZM, KC4EZM.
Good. It sounds great. It sounds really, really good. I like it. I don't have a lot of old-school stuff. I actually do have one radio here that is fairly old. The brand on this, I might be saying it wrong. It looks like you'd say it Multilmac or something, MULTI-ELMAC. And I have a model AF68A. And another one, it goes with it. It's a separate transmitter receiver. The next one is PMR-8. And then it has a power supply that goes with it, too.
I barely recognize those names. LMAC, my limited knowledge of that, I think they made some high power output tubes, and they still may. I'm not real sure, but the other number, don't get rid of them if they're still working. It's kind of nice every now and then to just dig out something that's old and put it on the air. This, my Corsair 2, It was originally sold, I think, in 1988, and I bought it from the first owner somewhere in the early 90s, and used it up until, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, and it quit working, and I bought a new radio, and found a person up here who works on old radios, and took it to that person, and he basically went through it, took it apart, cleaned the band switch, did not have to replace any parts at all, and basically did the alignment procedure that you did on old radios. And this Corsair 2 is an all-solid-state radio, but and I'm running FT8 on it right now, so It's still a fine radio. It's just that between the radio and I have the tuner that went with the radio, plus I also have the power supply that went with that radio. There's about 50 pounds worth of hardware there. Not something you want to drag around. And what's really funny is in the manual it talks about installing that Corsair 2 under the dash of your car. I'm not real sure you're old enough to remember cars that were big enough to do that with, Daniel, but it wouldn't fit in anything I own today. But then again, I wouldn't put it in my car. I like it sitting here on the desk in front of me. But it's just kind of fun every now and then to bring out some old stuff and play with it and see that it still works. It's KC4EZN.
I need to do that. I do have some tube radios here that I inherited from a Silent Key. I ended up with the stuff from KI4MLN Al from Malden. These are his radios that I've got now. You happened to mention about that, installing it underneath the dash of the car. I got one to run by you. I was looking online recently. I'd seen something funny and I thought it was one car, and my buddy said, no, it's this car instead. Would you mind explaining to me the difference between a 59 Impala and a 59 Bel Air? To me, they look almost identical. Are they effectively the same car? What's going on with that? I don't understand. I'd like to get filled in on that.
First of all, the first big difference is Bel Air starts with a B and has a dash in the middle, and Impala starts with an I. That's the first difference. Basically, they were the same automobile, but in those days, the Impala was the, the top of the line as far as trim. Back then you could get air conditioning, power steering as options and stuff. The Bel Air was a middle-priced car, and depending on the year, there was a Biscayne. The Chevrolet Biscayne was bottom of the line. It had a motor, transmission, four-wheel, steering wheel, heater, maybe not a radio. And the seat covers, the trim material were minimal. It was a kind of a work car. If you wanted something a little bit fancier, then you got the Bel Air, and it might come with a radio. It might come with an automatic transmission. The seat covers would be a little bit nicer. And then when you got up to the Impala, it might come with all the options and would have vinyl seat covers. If you wanted leather seat covers, you'd have to buy a Cadillac or a Pontiac or an Oldsmobile. But it'd have all vinyl seat covers. They would be tufted. I don't know if we still do that today or not. But basically, it was the same car, but just a different level of trim. KC4EZN.
Jay Clark, comment.
Harry, and go ahead, KN4CHY.
Jump in and say excellent description for Harry there. And I was going to add, from a mid-generation Impala and things of that line, fan back in the day, in later years you had the Impala and the Caprice. And they were kind of along the same lines that Harry was talking about with the Bel Air and Impala. In later years, the Impala was kind of the lower end, and then the Caprice was the top-end luxury model. But basically the same car, over.
Sounds good. Thanks for all those explanations of everything. That was actually really helpful to me, because I was looking at the cars, and I was like, huh, Bel Air, and the Impala, and I'm like, what's the world? Got in kind of a discussion about it. I'm like, and going back and forth about it, and it was just a picture of a car. I don't think there was any good way for me to be able to tell the difference, because I couldn't see the interior or the trim or any of that stuff. I couldn't tell. looking externally, it was just a picture of the back of the car making fun of its physical appearance, saying that it looked like a tripped out vampire, basically. But that's about all that was said about it. And I said it was a Bel Air, he said it was Impala, and I was like, okay, well, So, very interesting. Thanks for the information there. And thanks for jumping in there, Keith. Trying to think. I was going to say something else, too. Oh, I know what it was. My dad, growing up, his first car that he drove was a 63 Chevy Impala. That was his car. That was the very first vehicle of his own. And I think it had a teeny tiny little straight six in it. I can't remember exactly how many cubic inches it was, but I'm going to say it was a little bit over 100. It was a tiny little engine. He said it was 0 to 60 in about all afternoon.
Slow now, Daniel. The inline six that Chevrolet put in their cars then was, I think, 230 cubic inches. There was an industrial engine that you could get in a truck that was 292 cubic inches, and that engine was actually manufactured all over the world, and I think they quit making it in the early 90s in Australia. I'm trying to remember the name of the Australian car that General Motors sold there. But I had a 49 Chevrolet pickup truck that I had one of those engines in, and basically the engine was rebuilt, and my dad was one of these people that if one thing was good, the next more expensive thing was better. And he got this engine from a fella who drove a delivery truck, and he had chrome rings put in it when it was rebuilt, and the man who rebuilt the engine, instead of using one of those bead balls to hone the cylinders, he did it by hand, and those rings never seated. I put, I don't know, about 5,000 miles on that engine, and it looked like air pollution, global warming, all wrapped up one tailpipe. I pulled it out, and I had a friend who had a 1950 snub nose, a ton and a half truck. But the ton and a half truck had, I think it had a 230 cubic inch engine, and that was the big engine in 1950. The standard was 216 cubic inches, and that was what was in this truck when I got it. And I drove that truck for 10 years with that old 230 six-cylinder engine in it. And I had to, it was splash lubricated. The connecting rods had a little dipping scoop that would dip down into the crankcase. And it had an oil pump on it that would pump oil up almost to the crankshaft. And I ran a piece of copper tubing up to the valve covers so that they got a little more lubrication than that engine normally did, but it did all right. No, it was not a ball of fire. And then keep in mind that your first Corvette, 1955, had a Blue Flame 6. And it was that same, I think, 230 cubic inch engine, except they put two single barrel carburetors on it. Instead of painting it red, they painted it blue. So it wasn't a ball of fire, but it did pretty good. We'll bounce it back to you, Daniel. I think somebody else out there might want to offer a comment. So we'll bounce it back to you, KJ4WZM, KC4EZN. This has been kind of fun.
Good. Well, I appreciate all those helpful comments there. I try to learn as much as I can about stuff like that happened in not too long ago. I'm going to call it recent history. I
I didn't get to see it because I wasn't around yet, but it's pretty recent history. Most of y'all out there know exactly what I'm talking about. It was either your childhood or growing up years, a lot of y'all out there, so hopefully this has been a little bit of a flash in the past for a number of y'all and brought back some good old memories. But I wasn't around yet, and I kind of feel ripped off in a way, because those are some days that I would have really enjoyed seeing. I'd give everything to go back there and see all them days. And you are correct about that 230-inch. That does sound right, 230-cubic-inch. And I do believe that's what my dad had in his car. And he talks a lot of smack about how slow it was. But it was probably all right then. It's kind of neat that they put a variant of that engine in the Corvettes back then in the 50s. I bet by the time the 60s came around, they had found ways to improve on that. But I definitely appreciate everybody jumping in there with those comments and things. I like to learn about that kind of stuff. Pretty helpful.
East West.
Yep.
Just wanted to add in there the little information that Harry just gave out. Kind of clued me in on the legacy of the Impala generation I grew up with, and I always wondered where the white truck motors come from, because the one I grew up with, basically the one I learned to drive with and got through my teenage years and then acquired it later in my 20s, had a LT1 402, basically a 400 big block. And it's kind of amazing. I got through my teenage years with my driver's license intact. Over.
KC4EZN. Yeah, I would say you're lucky, y'all. When you mentioned the Caprice, my dad worked for the Chevrolet dealer, he'd trade cars every 6 or 8 years, and he had a 1972 Caprice, small block 400, 2-barrel carburetor, dual exhaust. And the first time I drove that car, if you've ever been in Statesville and got on I-40 at the Highway 115, which is the road that goes out of Statesville to North Wilkesboro, the on-ramp there is probably close to a half a mile long and it's straight. I was doing 90 miles an hour in that car when we got on the on I-40 there in Statesville. It would move, but and the reason that he got a good deal on that car, because nobody would buy it. It was just too strange a combination, but it had, you know, all the bells and whistle and road. I mean, it was a beautiful riding car, too. Anyway, stir up some more memories. We'll turn it back. Like I say, I've been having too much fun here. We'll turn it back to Daniel. This is KC4EZN.
That's awesome. I would love to get my hands on an engine like that. I don't have anything like that. Biggest engine I've ever had is a 302. Wow. I'm missing some stuff. I need to get into that kind of stuff right there. That sounds like it was a lot of fun. I don't think I would have had my driver's license either. I really, I made a conscious decision not to get myself a motorcycle until I was at least in my mid-20s, because I figured I'd either kill myself or lose my license due to that thing. But I never had the money to play with big block V8s and things like that. If I did, then I probably wouldn't have a driver's license now, and I certainly wouldn't be driving trucks, because I'd have too many reckless drivings and excessive speed, over 100 miles an hour tickets and things like that, because that's exactly what would have happened. So I guess I'll consider myself lucky on that. I had no self-restraint in my younger years whatsoever. A little age 25, forget it. So I'm glad that I have tamed down just slightly enough to be able to maintain a license in my pocket at least. But I guess if I had grown up back then with those kind of toys, might be a different story. Y'all really cracked me up. I really wish I could have seen some of that stuff back then. I know y'all got some good old stories from that. KJ4WVM. I'll go ahead and make another call for anyone that I have missed for check-ins or comments. If I missed anyone for check-ins or comments, please call KJ4WZM or Net Control.
4WZM or Net Control. Please check in. KI4DOS, Gary. Also, K3JOY. That's my pretty little bride, Joy. We're at home in Easley. I'll make a comment or two.
Alrighty, that would like to recognize KI4DOS, Gary, and K3JOY, Joy. Gary, tell Miss Joy we said hello. They're at home easily tonight. Alright, Gary. I don't hear anybody else. I'll pause briefly, I guess, and see if there's anyone else. Well, stump's all yours. KI4DOS, KJ4WZM.
KJ4WZM and Annette, KI4DOS. I apologize for being so late getting in here tonight, Nathan. Daniel. I was in there reading the book and looked up at the clock and I said, oh goodness, I better go check in. I heard y'all talking about cars and stuff like that. Joy, when we were in high school, had a 64 Chevelle with a 396 with a 4-speed in it. I had a 51 Plymouth with a flathead 6. When I got rid of that, I bought a 64 Plymouth Sports Fury. Had the 318 in it, but it was an automatic. They didn't make just a few of those with the automatics in the floor, which was really nice. But anyway, we drove it all the way across the country from here to California. And out there, I got one of the buddies that I was in the Navy with. He kept hounding me to buy it, so I finally sold it to him. And he took the automatic transmission out and the engine out and put a big old Hemi in it, put a 4-speed in it. But he butchered up the firewall, getting the clutch and the linkages and the pedals and all that put in. But we had fun with the car. We enjoyed it. And I'll just tell you this about a motorcycle. You know where the Publix is up there between Greenville and Furman?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, you know about where I'm talking about then. I left Traveler's Rest, and I was on a Royal Enfield Interceptor. That's a motorcycle. And I came down by Furman and came under the bridge there at where the Publix is now. And there was a highway patrolman sitting there running radar, and I went screaming by him. And I said, well, I guess I'll have to bite the bullet. And I stopped and turned around and went back. And turned around again and pulled back up and stopped right there with the police officer. And he walked over to me and he said, don't take your helmet off, get back on the motorcycle and go on. I said, well, officer, I know I was speeding. He said, yeah, you were speeding. You were doing over 100. He said, but you're going to get killed. He said, I won't have to worry about you anymore. He said, just go on. This is your lucky day.
All righty. I'm a self-incriminate here. That's actually a fairly fun stretch of road to go through. Going by Furman University, the fastest that I have gone through there, and I haven't done this in quite a while now, this is back when I first started riding, the fastest that I have clipped on through there was immediately after the bridge that is going past Furman University. I went 126 between there and that bridge that you were talking about, Old Buncombe Road. But as soon as I come up on that bridge, I dial my speed back extremely quickly because there's way too much traffic these days going on down there by that on the on-ramp and all that mess by the Publix. No matter what time of day it is, there's always something going on down there. Cars going this way and that way and everything else. So, but 126 is the very fastest that I've ever gone through there at, and that was way too quick.
it takes just a few seconds, like 3 or 4 seconds, to go from the one bridge to the other bridge like that. It just seems to take no time at all. It's scary.
It is scary. You don't think about it much when you're doing it, but anyway, then we had a Mazda RX-7 with the turbo. Had a rotary engine in it, and I was going down to, I was going to Seneca, actually, and I got on 123 and was going out of Easley, and between Easley and Clemson, and got that little rotary engine, and I said, I wonder if I can use, it had a 5-speed in it, and I said, I wonder if I can use 4 as a passing gear. And I was running about 70, and I revved it up a little bit, and it slid right into 4th gear, and I stomped it. And as the speedometer went to 135, I pulled it back into 5th gear, and I said, I guess it will start slowing down then. But that was in my younger days. I won't do that now. I'm not that brave to do that kind of speed out here on the roads. And, yeah, when I was riding the motorcycle over there, 100 plus miles an hour on Poinsett Highway, it was traffic was nowhere near what it is now. We've got a whole lot more traffic now. And Harry was talking about 115 up there in Statesville, Interstate 40. Harry, I know right where that is. We got some real good friends that live right off of 64 up there in Statesville. We go up there to see them all the time. Other than that, that's about all I got, Daniel. I just wanted to, y'all were telling car stories and stuff. I thought I'd throw a couple out there just to be sociable. But y'all have a good afternoon. I'll turn it back over to you. A good evening. And sound like you had a good night going. And there's some old folks out there still talking to you, so I'll let you carry on. But appreciate you calling the net, Daniel. And again, I'm sorry I was late. KJ4WZM in the net, KI4DOS.
And I always enjoy hearing your stories. Car stories, truck stories, radio stories, all that kind of stuff. Always always a bright part of my day. I really enjoy that kind of stuff a whole lot. Those, you happen to mention about those rotary engines. Those rotary engines are something else. I have never owned one, and it's probably a good thing I haven't, because I would get myself into, once again, way too much trouble with those things. They are fun to rev out to beyond belief, to infinity and beyond. And I've read a lot about them, but I've never owned one. I don't even know that I've seen one in operation, other than the aircraft. But I would love to get my hands on one of them someday. I need to probably be a little bit older and wiser than even what I am now, because I definitely push it to its limits just to see. I don't know that I'd cut out at 134 either. Nah, I think I'd be like, what is 5th gear topped out at? That would be neat. So that's why I don't own one right now. But it sounds like a lot of fun. Thanks for jumping in there, Gary. And hope you've had a great day. Check-ins or comments. Have I missed anyone for check-ins or comments? Please call KJ4WZM.
4WZM, KC4EZN. I'll tell you one more story, Daniel.
KC4EZN, KJ4WZM. Go ahead, Harry.
This is going to really date me. When they came out with the Ford Falcon and the Plymouth Valiant, Sunoco came out with, you know, they had those gas pumps that you could dial in the octane that you wanted. And they came out with a lower octane level gasoline for those little cars. And like I say, I grew up in Statesville. And there was a gas war going on in Charlotte. And every now and then we'd go down to Charlotte. There was a pizza place down there on the northern edge of Charlotte, it was easy to get to then. We figured out that with that gas war going on, what they were selling gas for in Charlotte, that we could drive to Charlotte, put just enough gas in the car to get there, fill the car up, and the money that we saved would buy the pizza and get us back to Statesville. I think it was 25 cents a gallon.
With that, Daniel, we'll turn it back to you and say 73, KJ4WZM, KC4EZM.
Really awesome. I wish gas would go back down like that again. I have heard stories about the 25 cents a gallon gasoline. That would be great, but we will never see that ever again. Ever, ever, ever. Unless the economy takes an unprecedented, ridiculous nosedive. But I don't think that we'll ever see 25 cents a gallon ever again. The lowest gas that I've ever bought was 99 cents a gallon, and the fuel station had just changed owners. And it was back when gasoline a couple years ago was fairly cheap. And so the owner dropped it a few cents, and I mean few cents. I think the gasoline in the area was selling for about $1.10 a gallon. He dropped it down to 99 cents a gallon just to do it. And I filled up a motorcycle tank. My tank held 5 gallons, and I drove around for about 250, 300 miles, something like that. Went and got more gas that I drove around 700 miles on just a few dollars, and I thought that was really impressive. But that's the closest I'll ever get to being able to tell a story like that. Still not enough to go get pizza, though. Well, let's see if I got... This is my last call for any additional check-ins or comments. Please call KJ4WZM or Net Control. One check-in tonight, and I'll go ahead and type up my net report. The net report, for some reason, is not able to be transmitted on the repeater, so I wanted to let everybody know that I have 51 check-ins tonight, and this is my message number 10, routine abbreviated from KJ4WZM. So, with that being said, I sent a copy of my net report off to Dave, W4DJW, the net manager, and sounds like that'll do it. It's not going over to transmit on the repeater tonight for some reason. KJ4WZM. Now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with our thanks for checking in. We will now return the repeater back to normal amateur use. 73s to everybody and good night. Ian, you still around here? KJ4WZM.
KJ4WZM, KC4EZN. Go ahead, Daniel.
From the Statesville area?
Yes, I grew up there, graduated from high school, went to college, and took a job up here in the Asheville area, and have been there ever been up here ever since. But yeah, I grew up in Statesville.
77 through Statesville. How old is that highway? I'm just curious. That's the stretch of road that I'm really, really familiar with.
Okay, Interstate 40, the section between Moxville and, I'm going to say, close to Hickory, was put in probably somewhere in the late 50s, because Idle County, and I don't remember which political party was in power, but Idle County voted for that party, and the two counties on either side of Idle County voted for the other party. So Statesville or Idle County had about a 20-mile section of I-40 about 10 years before anybody else. So I know when I went to NC State for college, and get on I-40 and head east, and when you got close to Moxville, it narrowed down to two lanes, 64. 77, I think, has probably only been there maybe 20 years. And I don't know if you've been up there recently, but they're still rearranging that whole crossover. So my wife's family is down in the eastern part of the state, so we go down there a couple of times a year. And we were down there right before Christmas, and they're still stirring things around there where 77 crosses over 40.
It's been a little while since I've been up that way. It hasn't been very long, but every single time I've ever rolled through Statesville, they're always, always, always under construction on 77. It seems to be a never-ending project. It's beginning to look like 26 through Asheville is about to be the same way, too. They keep messing around with that and doing this and doing that and not getting it done. But that stretch of roads, too, 26 through the Asheville area, is another stretch of road that seems to always be under construction and never completed.
That and, just last week, they're building the Pratt and Whitney plant. They're putting a new bridge across I-40, and they've had to do something where the Parkway Bridge is to get the extra lanes in there. And they've just announced, showed a picture in the paper, doing something to that road so that they can put in an interchange so you can get off of 26 and go into the Pratt and Whitney plant. Or, you know, get back on, and $32 million. That's an expensive section of road, so you may live long enough to see it finished, Daniel. I'm pretty sure I won't. KC4EZN.
That's going to be a mess. Sounds like that project is going to last for a long time. I guess that section of 26 is just going to stay a mess for the foreseeable future then, because that's not going to be done overnight, for sure.
No, not really, and when I retired, which was in 1999, the company that I worked for, we had started a project down in a plant in Louisiana, and they made the decision to close the department that I worked in down, but those of us who were working on that project, we were using J.E. Serene as the engineering company, and they were there, I've forgotten which exit, going down towards Spartanburg, but and they're not there anymore, and I think that whole building is it's either a box plant or a shipping something or other, but anyway, I had to drive down there for 6 months every day, and getting on the interstate at 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock is slow. And I tried all of the back roads, and the only two ways that I did not try was to go up 85 and then come up through Rutherford and come up Old Fort Mountain. And the other way that I didn't try was to go up 276 through Waynesville and come around that way. But all the other back roads I tried, and they were all full of the same people like me doing the same thing. And I finally came to the conclusion, just get on the interstate and creep along, and you're going to get home at about the same time, regardless of how you do it. And, you know, you listen to some music, stuff like that. But that road's going to be a mess a long time, I think. And about the time you get about 80% done with one project, then they come along with something new. And, of course, the south end of Buncombe County's probably got the biggest growth. So who knows what else other roads they're going to do. Anyway, have fun, Daniel. KJ4WZM, KC4EZN.
Thanks for satisfying my curiosity on that. Mostly curious about the age of the highways and stuff. I was unaware that 77 was as young as it is, but it sounds like it really is very young. At least that part of it. I'll have to look up the highway histories and stuff. Every once in a while, I'll go online and I'll start looking at stuff like that. I haven't done it in a little while, but I've never looked up how old 77 is. I looked up how old 85 and different parts of 85 were, and I looked up a number of other highways, but never looked up 76. And not 76, 77. That's pretty neat. But I'll look into that, and I'll have to look up the 26 projects, too. And I'm kind of curious to myself if they're ever going to finish the what's called Future 26 on the north side of Asheville as you head up towards the Virginia line. I don't know if they ever will finish that and widen it out. But that, too, would be a project.
I looked up why they call it Future 26. And that is because the definition of the highway system is that it has to have, I believe it's 10-foot wide emergency lanes on each side of the travel lanes, one on the left and one on the right. And a good bit of that Future 26 doesn't have 10-foot wide breakdown lanes on either side at all. Not one side or the other, but none. No breakdown lane at all. So they can't actually label it an interstate as a result. So I guess someday they'll go in there and finish it. But a lot of that stuff looks like it's going to be under construction for many, many years to come. But thanks for satisfying my curiosity on that, Harry. I'll have to look into that a little bit. Good talking to you. Thanks for sticking around for comments this evening. KC4EZN, KJ4WZM. You have yourself a great night.